Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, Professional Canine Training Center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media, and brought to you by Dog Works Training Centers. It is Saturday, June 12, 2010. And I am here today with my co-host, as always, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing well.
What is going on at Denver Dog Works?
Well, we are in full swing for summer classes, and we are doing well. We have a lot of vacationers this year, which is up from the vacationers last year. And what that means for us is I've got a lot of people calling and wondering how a Camp Works board and train is handled.
We're going to talk about that in just a second. Before we do, let's talk about some upcoming events at Denver Dog Works. In just about 3 months from now, we're going to be at the Parker Barker Days. Michelle, what is that all about?
The Parker Barker Days is an end-of-the-summer festival where they close their town pool and let the dogs out.
And that's always a good event for us. It's just right down the road from our location on Parker Road. You know, a lot of people think that we're in Parker because our address is on Parker Road, but that's not correct. We're actually in, I guess that would be southwest Aurora area in terms of...
Actually, we're in southeast Denver.
Southwest Aurora.
Southwest Aurora, because we are actually right on the city lines for both Denver and Aurora.
Yes, but Parker Road does take a gander down from about Alameda down all the way through Parker and ends up turning into County Road 83 here in the Denver area. So we are not in Parker. We live to our name. We are in Denver.
Yes, so for those people that live in downtown Denver or work in downtown Denver, Leedsdale is Parker Road at Quebec.
And, you know, right there at that location, we just wrote a topic on your new venture, the Dog Training Examiner. We reported on the Canine Fitness and Fun Center. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Michelle?
Yes, the Canine Fitness and Fun Center, which is about 2 miles up the street from us, is a great place to take your dogs, especially in the summer. They have swimming pools. They are a doggy daycare as well, and they do offer some boarding. They have a couple of swimming pools where you can do individualized swimming or you can do group swimming. Their pools are not heated, and so I always recommend to people that you utilize their facility in the summer months if you have short-coated dogs like boxers.
And I remember just a couple of weeks ago, or actually a couple of months ago now, when you took one of our Camp Works dogs, Charlie, that hailed from upstate New York, and he did not enjoy those pools, did he?
No, and Charlie is a boxer, and he did not enjoy the pools, although he would jump in the water and swim to wherever I was walking. He didn't like the fact that it was cold, and I had him there in April.
And speaking of boxers, just tomorrow night, you and I are going to meet with a good friend of ours, Leah Morris, who breeds boxers, and she has a brand new litter of puppies, 10 of them, as a matter of fact, and her breeder name, or whatever you call it, is called My Watch Boxers. You can find more information about that on her website, rmclassiccanine.com.
Which is RockyMountainClassicCanine.com. So she shortened it to rmclassiccanine.com. And, you know, Leah was a student of ours. She took our course. She was also a vet assistant for a long, long time, and she really did her research before she delved into the breeder's world.
So if you're looking for a quality boxer puppy, I encourage you to find out more information about it. You can always contact us at live@dogdoctorradio.com. On the last weekend of the summer is the annual Somerset Festival over at Clement Park in Littleton, Colorado, right next door to Columbine High School. And I'm sure everybody listening knows all about Columbine High School, but that's where Clement Park is, and that is an awesome place to hold a dog event. What is the Somerset Festival?
Well, the Somerset Festival really is Littleton's way of doing a mini taste of Colorado, if you will. They have a lot of food vendors that come out, and they have a lot of arts and craft vendors that come out, as well as local businesses. They put on a car show on one of the days. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department puts on a huge event for the kids, including, you know, the blow-up jumpy things, whatever they are. I don't even know if they're called rides. And then they do the dog events on Sunday, and that has really taken off and grown. They now have Frisbee and agility showcases, and I believe they are considering doing a flyball event this year, but I'm not positive.
And, you know, last year at the Somerset Festival, we were showcased with our very beginnings of Team Ineke.
Absolutely. You know, our son Tyler and I drug out the sled and all of its equipment and spread it out on that nice, freshly cut green grass. And you had more onlookers wanting to jump on the back of that sled on the grass than anything else.
So that is the last weekend of summer here in Denver. So we encourage you guys to find out more about the Somerset Festival, and I'm sure you can find out that information on the web. So, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about the Dog Training Examiner. What is that all about?
Well, theexaminer.com is an online news article-based website where you can read little tidbits about what's going on in your community, kind of like the old chronicles that used to float around that still do in some places, but it's a more streamlined online version. And I am the Dog Training Examiner for Denver. I am not a national examiner writer. I am just a local writer. And what I do is I try to focus on local dog training events that are going on in Denver, which is kind of difficult since I always like to write articles that aren't just about Denver per se, but can help people all across the board.
And, you know, you have a couple of themes going on. I know you talk quite a bit about service dogs, and you have one story that you write every week called The Adventures of Alaric. What is that about?
Well, Alaric is a dog that we bred that we put into a puppy raising program, and he recently was pulled out of the puppy raising program because I found a client that matched his abilities as a psychiatric service dog. Alaric will be turning 2 on July 19th of this year, just a day after our daughter's birthday, so he kind of has a special place in our hearts. And he is going to make a fine psychiatric service dog for this young woman. He is in the ending of his training, but actually he's in the beginning of learning how to work for her.
There you go. And just a brand new service dog that we just started named Toby, and you're also chronicling him on your Examiner articles. What is it called? Every Dog Has His Day?
Every Dog Has His Day Dog. Thank you to Toby Keith. You actually picked the song. I read the lyrics and listened to the song, and you were right on with choosing that as my little expose title. Toby, the dog's name, I'm not sure if she named him after Toby Keith or not, but if she did, how surreal is that? Toby was rescued by this young woman who has severe anxiety, and she had him for about 32 days. Her mom called me looking for a service dog trainer, and she had a breakdown and sent the dog back to the Denver Dumb Friends League. Well, because I know a few things about the Denver Dumb Friends League, when someone adopts a dog and takes it back, they usually don't put him up for adoption right away. And so I advised them to call the Denver Dumb Friends League immediately because they were canceling their appointment with me to evaluate the dog. And I knew that I would be able to help this girl. Even if we didn't do service work, I would be able to at least assist her in getting through puppyhood with this puppy. So they called the Denver Dumb Friends League, and he had only been there not even 24 hours. They went back and got him. The ladies at the Dumb Friends League, I don't know your names, but I would like to applaud all of you and share with you that I appreciate you working with another trainer in the area. Because of you guys, Toby has his day, and they were crying over the photographs that her mom brought in of him on Facebook in his little service dog vest. So we got major props from the Dump Frizzling, and I want to say thank you very much back to them.
There you go. So you can follow Toby as well on theexaminer.com. And another topic that you've been talking about, quite interesting to me, is a segment that you have called Behind the Breed.
Yes, Behind the Breed. I've been getting some nasty comments from people, and I'm not exactly sure why. On one of my topics, I talked about the Basenji and how I enjoy that breed, and if I ever have the opportunity to choose our next dog, I would like to choose a Basenji, and everybody was really kind of surprised by that. But I've had some comments from people saying that I'm misleading and I'm saying things about the breed that aren't true, and I'm not. I'm not giving a biased opinion about any of the breeds, positive or negative. What I'm trying to do as a breed referralist is allow people to get a different perspective on a breed that they are interested in, but also let them find out about a breed that they don't see very often. And for instance, the Basenji is a breed that you don't see very often. They're not overbred, but they do have some definite characteristics and personalities that are strong. Today's Behind the Breed that I wrote has not been posted yet. It's called Oodles and Poos. And I think you're going to enjoy that one because it's talking about all those oodles and poos out there that are the so-called designer breeds.
So we're looking forward to that, and you can find that on examiner.com and just type in Denver's Dog Training Examiner, or a little bit easier, just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Denver Dog Works. We post the articles there right to a link, and you can find them right there. We encourage you guys to subscribe. We don't do this for free, I guess. Michelle, you get a whopping penny a click.
I get a super-duper penny.
You get a penny a click. So we're encouraging feedback more than we're encouraging anything else, and we are getting some very good feedback on our examiner.com.
I would also like to say, if any of you guys out there, I take your comments both good and bad, and I try to write back to you and let you know that, hey, I'm just trying to enlighten the world about what's going on. If you guys have a topic or know of something that's going on here in Denver locally or even nationally, I don't care, let me know, because it's dang hard to keep up with all of the newsworthy dog happenings out there when it's only a penny a click.
And you can send us comments as well through our Facebook page or even at email, live@dogdoctorradio.com. Next week, we are going to have a taped show. So I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do yet, but we're going to have a taped show because I will be in California. What's going out that way, Michelle?
Well, you know, I think that what you are hoping to talk about is pit bulls and service dogs and possibly a segment on animal abuse. Both of those sound dreary and sad, so I'm thinking that we might do something a little bit more upbeat in the middle of those two sad segments.
Yeah, so we'll have three segments next week, but we're looking forward to talking about pit bulls, breed bans, and service dogs. I know you wrote an article, where at? Examiner.com. But we're also going to talk a little bit about animal abuse and some signs to watch out for animal abuse, and I know we've covered that several times on this radio show. Remember, we're not just a training show. We talk about every dog event that we can think of.
Absolutely. And you know, on regards to animal abuse, I did just post an article that you and I kind of co-wrote, but you didn't give yourself credit. But it's about heat stroke and dogs. And I encourage everybody to go out to the Denver Dog Training Examiner again. I'm sorry for all these shameless plugs, but that is an excellent article to read, and I encourage everybody out there to read it. It was sourced with the ABKA.
So as we were saying, we were leading up to next weekend. I will be in California interviewing a good friend of mine, April Wood, who we're getting our first Siberian puppy for Team Aneke. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're doing in California?
Well, what we're doing in California, you're actually going to be driving through the San Joaquin Valley where I grew up. So it'll be an interesting and fun trip for you. I am not going because I know the area, so I have no reason to go back. You are going to pick up Reagan, our very first Siberian Husky earmarked for Team Aneke. We have searched diligently to find one that's going to work, and I think she's going to work out fine. Can you tell our listeners why we chose Reagan when Aneke is such a mysterious type of a name, and now we're choosing Reagan?
I'm going to leave that to you, but no, we're not picking up Reagan next week. I'm actually going out to search out a property in Toll House, California, and we're going to meet the puppies and also interview our good friend April for our sister show, Mush You Huskies, which will be, again, live from Auberry, California. Yes, Auberry, California, a little teeny town of what, about 2,000 people, Michelle?
Yeah, but Toll House is even smaller.
I don't think they even have a grocery store there.
No,
but
Toll House has a post office, and all of the people that want to retire out of Fresno go to Toll House.
So we're going to take the Dog Doctor Radio Show live on the road and come to you from Auberry, California, next weekend.
That's right. And, you know, I'll go ahead and let everybody know, Reagan's getting her name from the little girl from The Exorcist, as Robert is a huge horror movie fan. And I chose Reagan because, not because she's an evil little you-know-what, but because she perseveres and survives. And I think that a lead dog needs to have the ability to adapt and survive.
Well, let's don't get ahead of ourselves. I have no idea if she's going to be a lead dog. I have no idea if she's even going to be able to make the team. So we're going to see. I mean, she's a little puppy, so we've got a lot of work to do.
Do you remember Melba McClanahan?
Yes.
And what she said to Mac when he was choosing his lead dog?
I do not.
She said that he needed to choose a female because we know when to ask for directions.
There you go. So listen to that show as well, Mush You Huskies, on this same channel, blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. 2 weeks from today, I will be in Alaska, up in Willow, Alaska, another very small town. But for you guys that know anything about dog mushing, Willow is the Iditarod capital of the world. That is the Iditarod headquarters. And I'm going up there to look at a property right there on the Iditarod Trail, actually backs up to that property. It's an old retired musher's property. And by July 10th, the show on July 10th, we will have a decision on where Team Aneke will be headquartered.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if our musher friend who is selling us or possibly selling us his house would like to be called old.
I have no idea how old he is.
He is retired in Arizona, but maybe not old.
I think that's what they call snowbirds. So we're going to look forward to checking out both those properties and letting all of our listeners know what we're going to do next for Team Aneke. And I tell you what, this summer is going to be loads of fun trying to figure out how we're going to get at least me and my truck up to Willow, Alaska, or Toll House, California, with a very limited stuff in the back of the trailer.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but you, the truck, a U-Haul trailer, Aneke and Reagan.
So we'll look forward to that. On July 3rd, we talked about this just a little bit a few weeks ago when we did our canine dementia story. I just met with Dr. Holly Cogswell yesterday, and we're going to start our Ask the Vet topics. And that will start on the July 3rd of the Dog Doctor Radio Show. And the way we're going to handle it is, for the first few weeks, Dr. Cogswell is going to be on the air and talk about a particular topic and answer questions for our listeners. And within a few weeks, you're going to be able to click on a link on the Dog Doctor Radio Show or any of our other websites and ask questions for our vet. And by doing so, she will answer those on the air on the Dog Doctor Radio Show every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time.
Absolutely. And I know you guys already pretty much have a plan for the July 3rd inaugural or takeoff show. But if anybody out there is already thinking, ooh, I've got a question, send it off to us anyway so that we can give them to her for the second show.
And you can contact us through our website, through Facebook, through Twitter, whatever you want to do, or the easiest way is through email, live@dogdoctorradio.com.
Absolutely. And remember, no question is a dumb question. Feel free to ask.
So there you go. Our topic today is what Michelle is affectionately calling a puppy wish list. Michelle, take it away.
Recently, I interviewed a client who is picking up their new puppy in 2 weeks. She contacted me prior to picking up their puppy to have a training plan in place. I cannot emphasize the importance of this decision. As a matter of fact, I've had quite a few clients in the last year contact me this very same way. They've already picked out their puppy, but they haven't quite brought him home yet, and they decide to find a trainer that can help them develop the proper training plan for their puppy through his first year of life. This is a wonderful way to develop a healthy socializing relationship for you and your new dog. I also have been submitting 4 critical periods on my blog, which also explains why this is important for the developing, maintaining, and sticking with a structured training plan for your puppy is a good idea. Let me share the puppy wish list with you. Number 1, he needs to be potty trained. Number 2, I want a dog I can take anywhere. He needs to get along with other dogs and people. 3, I want a dog who can walk on a loose leash. 4, I want a dog who isn't always trying to run away. 5, I want to be able to call him to us from far away. 6, the commands I am interested in are sit, down, stay, come, and nice. 7, take the treat without biting my hand off. Now, please understand that this was a combination of quite a few people's wish list for their puppies, not just one individual. And I always like to take their little wish list and explain to them how it all works when you're training a puppy and the differences in ability to learn as well as developments.
So, Michelle, what do you think is the biggest pitfall of puppyhood with the new owner? Is it, everybody has starry eyes and big dreams when they pick up their little puppy from the breeder, but often that's when the problems develop, is it not?
It is. What happens for the most part is, unfortunately, we still have some old school veterinarians out there that are advising people not to enroll their dogs in training or even discuss training with their new puppies until they're between 4 and 6 months of age. At 8 weeks of age, that puppy is already very impressionable and needs some guidance. And the new owners, whether they're veteran puppy owners or they're brand new, is their first dog, some heated advice from a trainer is much more welcomed than avoiding any sort of dog training or dog training advice at all. I do not advocate taking out puppies without shots to, you know, open space areas, dog parks, and things like that. But I do advocate that you should hire your trainer and develop a relationship with them so that they can assist you with training and doing things right in your own home or in their sanitized training center that can help develop your relationship and socialize your puppy in a healthy way. Remember, there are fear periods with puppies that have to be addressed.
So, number 1, he needs to be potty trained. Actually starts the first night he comes home.
That is correct. And a lot of people don't know or understand how to utilize a crate when they're teaching their puppy house manners and to be potty trained. And that's one of the first things I have to explain to people is how a crate works. It's not a timeout. It's not a punishment. It is a safe place for your puppy to be, and it is one of the best tools you will ever own because you can feed and give your puppy water in that crate and take him out 15 minutes later. It forces him to concentrate on eating when a lot of puppies get distracted.
So in just a couple of minutes, right after our break, we're going to come back to a trainer's perspective on this puppy wish list. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Team Eneke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Eneke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teamineke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Must you Huskies? Gee-haw!
And We're back. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media, and brought to you by DogWorks Training Centers and our home store, Denver DogWorks. We're talking about a very interesting topic today called a puppy wish list. And before we get into that, I want to just give everybody a rundown of what we've talked about already. We've talked about a lot of things here today. We've talked about our trip to Alaska. We've talked about our brand new segment called Ask the Vet with Dr. Holly Cogswell. We've talked about our trip to California and our newest addition very soon to our Iditarod Quest, our new puppy named Reagan, who will be here in about a month, as well as some upcoming events, including the Somerset Festival and Barker Days. Michelle, anything else that I've forgotten?
No, other than the fact that we did discuss in a lengthy discussion about the Denver Dog Training Examiner articles that we post.
So if you like what you hear, make sure you hit that favorite button on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks, and it will send you a very quick reminder every week of when our show will be on. And make sure you keep the discussion alive, whether you're on Facebook, Twitter, our comment page on Blog Talk Radio, or send us an email with questions, concerns, comments, whatever, at live@dogdoctorradio.com. Michelle, you talked about just a second ago about what you're calling a puppy wish list. Can you run down those seven topics before we get into a trainer's perspective?
Sure. The puppy wish list is taken from clientele who call me and ask me if I can handle these few things that they are looking for. One, he needs to be potty trained. Two, I want a dog I can take anywhere, be around other dogs and people. Three, I want a dog who can walk on a loose leash. Four, I want a dog who isn't always trying to run away. Five, I want to be able to call him to us from far away. Six, the commands I'm interested in are sit down, stay, come, and nice. And seven, take the treat without biting my hand off. So from my perspective, which I'm pretty sure is from most trainers' perspective, to address number one, potty training, I simply put crate training is the most effective, humane way to potty and house train a puppy, and I highly recommend it. This, however, does not mean that the puppy should remain in the crate for hours on end. Scheduled feedings and offerings of water help determine and set a timetable for when it's time to go potty. Two, socialization. Proper socializing is of utmost importance and shouldn't be taken lightly. Be aware of your puppy's fear periods and socialize appropriately. Socialization is not just getting to play with other dogs. It includes visits with people of all types, car rides, exposure to different surfaces, sounds, and smells. Socialization should include night exposure and training as well. Three, loose leash. This is a life-saving skill to teach to your dog. Dogs that walk properly on a loose leash are at less of a risk to dart out into traffic or lunge toward a dangerous dog. Loose leash also teaches your dog how to have manners while in public. Come, another life-saving skill. Teaching a puppy to come at any distance and through any obstacle or distraction is tough, but with repetition and consistency, it will be the command you enjoy watching him do the most. Dogs are truly beautiful when they are running towards you. The commands, sit down, come, and nice. These commands are a great start. Puppies can learn so much more. Sit, down, wait, stand, loose leash walking, automatic sit, leave it, nice, drop it, and fetch, plus much, much more. Dogs can learn 20 commands with hand signals by the age of 6 months. That's overwhelming to a lot of new puppy owners, isn't it?
I agree.
Bite inhibition. What is bite inhibition? Well, bite inhibition is when we teach puppies to bite more softly or gently. And if you're training your dog for hunting, this makes a lot of sense. You don't want them to destroy that duck or bird that they're retrieving for you. If you are training for Schutzhund or police work or protection, you don't want to inhibit the bite. You want to encourage the bite. So you really need to make sure you know what you're training your puppy to do. For the most part, bite inhibition is taught to puppies at 12 weeks of age and is worked on for several weeks. Bite inhibition teaches a puppy that biting hurts and is unwanted behavior. This is taught by hand-feeding semi-soft treats using the command nice or easy. So, Dr. Forteau, why don't you explain to us a little bit about how training Reagan is going to be different from this particular style of a puppy wish list, because this one really is addressing obedience for a pet dog.
I believe that everybody that owns a dog should have a clear-cut goal in mind of what they're going to do for their dog, whether it be the lounge around the house couch potato or a hardcore Iditarod sled dog. They should have the end goal in mind. If you guys have ever read any type of leadership books or anything on motivation, one of the key concepts to leadership is having the end goal in mind. So if you are, as Michelle mentioned, going to work with your dog in a particular sport such as agility or Shih Tzu or dog sledding or tracking or anything like that, make sure you harness those abilities at the very beginning so it becomes a part of your daily routine.
So training backwards, in a sense. You know what your end goal is. I'm picking out this puppy because I want him to be the best tracker out there. So when you pick out this puppy to be the best tracker out there, what do you do with that puppy because you know what you want him to be when he's 2 years old?
You want to encourage that scent. And, again, that goes right back to your beginning part of this segment is the puppy wish list. I think number one should be what do you want your dog to do. That should be well above any of the other things on your wish list. So, and I see this all the time. People get a particular dog and they expect them to do a particular task. I know just the other day somebody had called you up and asked if they can train their Sheltie to be a level 2 protection dog. And for people that don't know what level 2 protection is, that is the bite work of protection. That is a defensive threat dog, meaning that it will
put a person on the ground and hold them there in a pin move and or bite them in a manner that causes injury. Shelties can bite, but they can't pin someone down. They can't chase someone down and knock them down. So although her idea was okay, she needed the protection. She has a weirdo in her neighborhood. The dog is not appropriate for that job. And that is a very good point that you make, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. Number one should be, why are you purchasing this puppy? What is your goal? And I always let people know that when I speak with them and I evaluate them. I say, you know, that's all well and good, but why are you getting this puppy?
That's true. And the only other thing I want to mention is about bite inhibition. When I work with new dog owners, and particularly dogs that are very mouthy, I make sure that the dog and the owner knows if the teeth touch skin, the game is over.
That's absolutely right, and because you are a behaviorist and we deal with a lot of problem cases here in Denver, we have a lot of dogs that come in and mouth. That means put teeth on skin. And even in my classes, I am constantly reminding people that it's not okay. If their teeth touch me, I stop moving. Even walking is considered a game to a dog. Everything stops. It might only stop for 15 seconds, but everything stops.
And that teaches a dog very quickly that the game is over if something unwanted occurs. And that's how dogs learn. Dogs learn through repetition and what is positive and negative. If something is right and they get a reward, then it's A-okay. And if something is wrong and something is taken away, often that is a very quick change in behavior.
Right, and that would be the negative. Just taking yourself away or turning your back on the dog for the unwanted behavior is considered a negative reinforcement. And that's something that we can talk about on another show.
So to wrap this up, I know you had talked a little bit before about this, is about choosing a trainer. I know that you have said over and over and over to your prospective clients that there are so many trainers here in the Denver area. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I always want to plug our own business, but sometimes we're not the appropriate trainer for the client, and I have no problems getting them with the trainer that they need to be with. I wish that would happen on the other side of the fence as well. It's just not happening that way. Our job as dog trainers should be to provide people with a service across the board that gets more people doing dog training. Sometimes just personalities don't mesh. Sometimes people are bringing a dog to us that I personally just don't have the time to train because I don't have the knowledge. For instance, I have a lot of people that call us up and want to do agility training, and I can't do agility training. I just simply can't do it. But you can, and if you have time in your schedule, you take it on. But you do enjoy tracking training, and because I have a hunting background, I can usually help get the puppy there. One of our most successful programs is Peak Performance. Because of that very reason, because I will handle the puppy obedience and prepare the dog for what its end goal is, and then you take over and start doing the specialized training.
There you go. So in closing, what do you think an owner should think about when they're looking in the newspaper, going to breeders, going to that shelter, whatever? What do you think should be first thing that they think about? Should it be the puppy itself, the price of the puppy, how long the dog is going to be around, i.e., the particular breed? As we all know, the larger dogs such as Mastiffs and Great Danes have a lifespan of about 6 to 8 years, whereas a Chihuahua may live for 15 years. What do you think should be the first thing going through a new puppy owner's mind?
Well, actually, I think the first thing that's going through a new puppy owner's mind should be the first thing that goes through every parent's mind. What type of education am I going to provide for my child? I remember holding each one of my children, hoping that they would get the best out of school and go to college if they so chose to do so. So in my opinion, I hope that people aren't just saying, oh, I want a Yorkie poo. I hope people are thinking, which trainer do I want? There's over 200 of us in Denver. I should do some research.
So that is our puppy wish list. Next week, we are going to be talking about the breed ban, pit bulls, and service dogs. Michelle, do you care to comment on that just for a second?
Yeah, we're going to throw something fun in the middle because it's an awful heavy subject matter next week.
Following that, we're going to talk about the signs of animal abuse. And as you guys know here on the Dog Doctor Radio Show, we just don't talk about your typical sit-down-stay type programs. We talk about things that matter the most to dog owners throughout the world.
Right, and on the animal abuse segment, we will be highlighting your our article that is on the Denver Dog Training Examiner called Heat Stroke. So it is something that should be talked about on the radio as well, since it is now summer.
And on our July 10th show, we're going to make the announcement of what we're doing next for Team Aneke. And the following week, on that July 10th show, we're going to have on producer Nicholas Goodman, who did Canine Instincts. And we're going to try to get dog trainer extraordinaire Kyle Warren on as well. I know he's getting married the weekend before, but his producer is pulling his leg.
His honeymoon will be over. It'll be back to work time.
His producer is pulling his leg, and we want to make sure that we get Kyle on to talk about his upcoming movie called Canine Instinct. I know we were very privileged to preview that movie, and we wrote a review for it. It is on their website, and it is a movie for any person that is interested in not only a really down-home dog training story, but somebody that has tremendous motivation and drive.
And not only that, he is, it goes right with this segment, he is raising puppies with an end goal in mind, and it will really show the public that, wow, I really should have thought about what I wanted my dog to be or do before I got it.
That's exactly right. And for you guys that are new to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, make sure you go back to our archives. We have well over a year worth of topics. And I know we switched producers a little while back, and you can find our previous shows by going to any of our websites. They'll have links back and forth. But I tell you what, for the past 4 or 5 months, we've really had some very good topics. We've had some good authors. We've had some good topics that we spoke about. And one of my favorite recent shows is Beezer and Boomer. And people still comment to me all the time on Facebook and Twitter about that book. And I just want to pass that along. And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago I met an editor who's going to help me out on my book, and I recommended one of your favorite shows. I guess it was almost a year ago now, Cowboy and Wills. And I said, Barbara, you've got to go get this book. And she went down to the library and checked out Cowboy and Wills, and she thought that was one of the best books she's ever read.
That's right. And, you know, it really was. And the story is touching, and the book is touching. It's now available on paperback, and I encourage everybody out there to go and get it. Whether you have a dog or not, whether you have a child suffering from a disease or not, go get the book.
Cowboy and Wills, and I believe her name is Monica Holloway, right?
That's right.
There you go. So look forward to your comments, feedback, and concerns live at dogdoctorradio.com. Michelle, anything in closing?
No, have a safe trip to California.
There you go. This is the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media, and brought to you by DogWorks Training Centers. We'll see you next week from California, 9:30 Mountain Time. Never forget your dreams. Goodbye.